Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting Program, where we talk travel. And alhamdulillah, the name Globe Trotting Program has really taken off well. Wherever we go and people know about the program, it's the travel program, the travel program, the travel program. And it's so great to note that people are listening and also taking heed to what we say many a times. In fact, I had a listener during the week who texted me and just said, you know, I was at a certain place and I heard somebody talking about something about I said about a month ago on air. And they were talking about that particular incident that I made mention of. And just to note that people really do listen and take note of what we say sometimes, alhamdulillah. So that makes us feel so great. And that gives us the encouragement also to do what we're doing, alhamdulillah. Like I said, we're going into many years already. And alhamdulillah, we hope to continue with whatever we're trying to do, inshallah. This week we had a mayit in the family, Faisal Parak. Many know him from Newcastle. He unfortunately succumbed to his illness and he passed on. My condolences go to the family, to all those involved and all his extended family as well. And may Allah grant him high, high stages in Jannat. And may Allah make it easy for the family as well, inshallah. It was Faisal Parak. Many will know him from Newcastle. I think he had the biggest hardware store in Newcastle. So he was really well known in Newcastle. Allah make it easy, inshallah. That is one direction we all have to go. That is one place we all have to reach. And Allah make it easy for us all. Allah make it that we live with iman and then we die with iman, inshallah. That's the most important dua we make. Allah make it easy, inshallah. And more than that, there are so many people preparing now for their holidays. And on our side, we have the Qurbani thing happening now in Ramadan, on Eid, which is it's less than a month already. And Ramadan is now, Eid is going to be here for Qurbani. People are starting their preparations for Qurbani already. And things are just happening. And inshallah, we hope to get going to Vietnam again, once again, to do what we normally do there, get the Qurbani sorted out, inshallah. So we're looking forward to that. Within 2 weeks, I think the team is going to be leaving for Vietnam. This year we have Kariziat Patel, who's going to be joining the team, going to Vietnam, going to do Qurbani on behalf of Al Imdad in conjunction with MBJ Projects, going to be doing Qurbani in Vietnam and Cambodia. This year, Cambodia, there's a lot to be done in Cambodia this year. There's lots of Qurbani. And besides that, as I always say, the excuse to get into Vietnam, Cambodia was to get to the people. It's not only the Qurbani that we look at. It's more than that. It's the association with those people where Islam was Islam was very far away from them. And alhamdulillah, through Qurbani, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have now accepted the kalima on the right side because of as we always heard, the different stories of what type of Islam they practice. And alhamdulillah, there are hundreds of families which are now reading the kalima again and coming back onto mainstream Islam, and things are changing. So in Cambodia this year, inshallah, there's going to be plans for two masjids to be built as well in two different villages. Vietnam also, there's another masjid that's planned to be built in one of the remote villages where lots of these Bani people became Muslim or changed to mainstream Islam, and there's going to be another masjid built there. So inshallah, there's a lot that's going to be done. So that's happening now within the next 2 weeks or so. The team's going to be leaving, inshallah. Allah make it easy for them. Allah make it easy for all those that are going to be getting out good work during this time as well. There are many organizations that are doing it. All those that are doing it with a good intention of serving communities and serving the people, not as a business, they, inshallah, Allah make it easy for them. Allah make it possible that their mission is fulfilled, where the deen is being spread just through the simple task of Qurbani, inshallah. Allah make it easy for one and all, Allah, inshallah. Now, I recently spoke about Turkey, and we've had so many people asking about Turkey thereafter, and we had so many different questions. In fact, there was somebody that disputed one issue that I had mentioned as well about staying in the Taksim Square area and going for phosphorus or something. There was some small little issue which I clarified with them, and I got them, and they agreed that, no, it was correct the way I said it. But more than that, there were so many other queries regarding hotels, regarding halal. There was queries regarding the hotels closer to the bazaar area, closer to the masjid, Hagia Sophia, and which other hotels, reasonable hotels, because of the currency exchange, reasonable hotels and so on. There were so many questions. In fact, there's SMSs and emails. I'll probably, if there's one or two that I would like to read out, which I haven't responded to as yet, I will do that. But then, to tell us more about all these things, we have somebody that who's been out to Turkey. I mentioned previously as well, I think it's beginning of the year, they went out to Turkey to go check out for hotels, check the place out, and look for the different tours and so on, and organize things for the South Africans. Now, we as South Africans, we are so used to going wherever we go, and we want that peace and comfort, that when we get there, we do not want difficulty in going to all these different places which I mentioned, where you got to make inquiries at the reception of the hotels, make inquiries, go out there, look for the places, all those things. There are many people, they don't want to do that. They want to get to the hotel, have things organized for them. Alternatively, they get to the airport and they wait for their name outside on the boards or whatever it may be, reach the person, get into the vehicle, go to the hotel, and a comfy holiday, I would say. Lots of people prefer that. Well, that is also the correct way of doing things, because in that way, you are out on a holiday, so you enjoy, you do the best of what you can do. Take it easy, chill out, relax. That's what many, many people would like to do. So what we've decided is to make it easier and to get somebody who really knows much and a lot about Turkey, because they've been there and been organizing all these Turkish tours and so on. We have Imran from Harvey World in Sandton. And he's been there because he was working on something, and he also told me the last time that he's going to get information regarding the hotels and all that, and he'll give us the information. Now, remember something, Imran helps us with lots of information. It's not that we punting Imran to make it a point that we have to get our tickets from Imran or whatever, but what Imran does is he gives us information. Whatever we want to do thereafter, it's all left upon us. So Imran is here just is a close friend who will assist us, and he's always there to assist us on Radio Islam when it comes to giving us information. Whenever we require information from listeners as well, I'd ask him for the information, and he'd give us information, some information which I don't have, he'd give us the information, and we'd pass it on to the listeners. So he's been really instrumental in assisting lots of our listeners with information, and we do have Imran online at the moment, who will be assisting us and talking to us and telling us more about Turkey. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imran.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah for joining us on a Sunday morning on such short notice as well, because you know I've been just inundated with so many emails and SMSs regarding Turkey. When I spoke last about Turkey, I think it was about 3 weeks or a month ago, and thereafter I got so many messages coming asking about Turkey, because lots of people are looking in that direction as well. So that is why you've been there, and you mentioned to me you were there, you were checking out the hotels and so on, and you're the most appropriate person currently that can give us information on Turkey. Jazakallah for joining us, Brother Imran.
Jazakallah, Brother Muhammad, for having me. It's always a pleasure to assist the listeners. Last year, towards the end of the year, I made a trip down to Turkey, specifically to Istanbul, mainly to look at the location of the hotels and what they offer and so forth. Because Istanbul being very unique, you know, when we book the hotel, generally we look at the branded hotels, and from that we get an idea of the level or the standard of the hotel. And in Istanbul that was being a bit difficult, because you don't find many of the traditionally branded hotels, especially in the old city near Topkapi, near the Sultan Ahmed area. So we went down and had a look at these hotels, and what we discovered was that a lot of these places are, like we would say, heritage sites in our terms. So they're not allowed to basically break down the entire structure. All they do is, it was probably an apartment block or, you know, people living there, and what they've done is they've renovated the inside and turned them into hotels, simply because there's a need for people to stay close by, and obviously for the tourism needs. So that's why when people will check hotels, they will find, you know, a lot of different names, and you don't recognize them, you know. But generally, all of them have a star rating, and the Turkish Tourism Bureau, they're very objective when they're doing this. They're very well organized. So So you will be getting, if it says 3-star or 4-star, you will be getting that type of service. But just to keep in mind, the rooms are generally smaller like everywhere else in Europe due to the shortage of space. You know, it's a very busy city. And what they've done is they've kept the old cobblestone streets, the narrow alleyways and so forth, which is really good because many places in the world you don't see this anymore. So they've kept all of this, and you know, that's why you'll find all these smaller hotels. But really, most of them, they're quite good. Their service is very good. Just like I said, to keep in mind, the rooms are a little bit smaller. But then again, you're not in the room the whole day, because when you leave in the morning, you generally get back at night. And now being summer, so the days are long, and obviously you don't have a salah issue because there are masjids all over. So generally, people leave in the morning, have a good breakfast, and they're out, and they get back late in the evening or, you know, late afternoon and so forth.
Now, when you went out there, Brother Imran, you went to check out some hotels there. Did you go out and, as you said, you went to the branded hotels. But more than that, those small hotels that you're talking of, probably 2-star, 3-star, many different countries where you go to, you'll find that the 2-star rating is real now, you know, below the belt, real 2-star rating. And then some of the countries that you'll go, you'll see 2-star, and I give you the perfect example, which, you know, sometimes I have to bring this in also. Like the 2- and 3-star rating in Vietnam is like almost our 4- and 5-star in South Africa. Likewise, in some other countries, it's vice versa. What's it like in Turkey with those hotels? Because you specifically went to check out hotels. Now, when we go out there, we go for a holiday, we go to a specific hotel, and we make do with that. Now that you went to investigate hotels, so-called investigate the different hotels, what's your take on the lower graded hotels as compared to the 4- and 5-stars of the other parts of the world, or the 4- and 5-stars in Turkey as well?
Look, with regard to, there weren't really many 2-stars, and we didn't really go and look at that. I looked at the 3-stars, the 4-stars. Generally, I would say for our South African community, the 4-stars are also very well priced. You're looking at roughly between 1,000 and 2,000 rand a night for a 4-star, which is very cheap. I mean, you stay in any of our hotels, you go to Durban and you won't pay that price. So I would suggest when people are looking for hotels, go for 4-star. But most importantly, when you're in the old city, look for location. Because what happens is it's a very busy city. And, you know, it will take you a day or two to get your bearings. Sometimes you might be a 10-minute walk away from, say, the Blue Mosque, for example, and you decide to take a taxi or a tram, and that will take you like half an hour to get there. So most important would be the location.
As far as the location is concerned, I want to elaborate on the location, but not now, because we're coming up to news time within a minute or so. I really want to elaborate on location, because that's one of my points that I really want to bring up, because that is of utmost importance. And the mails that I've been receiving was, I think, 50 or 60% of them regarding location of where they should book, exactly which area. Because when I looked at it, when I went down as well, I stayed in the Texom Square area, and I advised that Texom Square area, very, very good. And lots of people came up with other suggestions after my program then, and they sent me mail regarding that, which other areas. So what we'll do is we'll touch on that point elaborately after the news, where we can really tell the people where exactly, in which area is the best, as you're mentioning, of your distances between the places that you go from the hotels where you're going to be staying. But more on the hotels part itself, and the main thing is the type of hotels we choose and the standards of the hotels that we're choosing. G.
Like I said, we should rather stick to the 4-star, and if we can, the 5-star hotels. Remembering a lot of them, you know, some of the people have had issues with breakfast and so forth in Turkey, because a lot of them have their traditional breakfast, and you don't have what we used to, the normal omelets and, you know, all those type of things, which people, you know, normally in the 4-stars, that's what's been happening, in the 3-stars as well. In the 5-stars, they normally have a proper full breakfast. So that's the one issue. The other one is also, like I said, rooms are quite small. We need to check when we're booking, because they are old buildings. Some of them might be like a 2-story building and they don't have a lift, for example. So when we're doing it, we got to go look into these type of things. Also, you know, you can't put too many people in a room. Sometimes, you know, we used to maybe putting four people in a local hotel here in South Africa with two double beds. It's not going to work there because the rooms are quite small. They generally, if you have two in a room and if you have a third, there'll probably be an extra bed and then you're not going to have a lot of space in the room. So we should just keep that in mind. Sometimes, you know, we try and save cost and we try and put too many in a room. And with these Turkish hotels, generally, it won't work.
Right, G. So what we'll do is, G, that is of importance as well. The location is one, and also the type of hotel that we're talking of, that's very, very important. But we're already on news time. What we'll do is, I want to explore a certain, the locations as such, and also the attraction areas around the locations that we're going to be talking of. But we'll do that after the news, and I've already got two or three emails which I'm going to be responding to after the news, inshallah. And my email address is always Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-E-D at globetrotting.co.za, or our SMS line 072-786-5520, 072-786-5520. We'll continue right after the news.
From the heights of Kilimanjaro to the depths of Jericho, and from the white sandy beaches and blue waters of islands in the Indian Ocean to the dense forests of the Amazon on the South American continent, turn dreams into reality as we explore different destinations with myself, Muhammad Lambat. Tune in and listen to the views of ambassadors and counselors on Sundays between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. on the Globe Trotting Show. Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting program, alhamdulillah. And today we're talking Turkey. We had spoken about Turkey some time back, about a month or so, and we had quite a few queries and responses, yes, regarding Turkey. And we just thought that there's so many questions, so I really made it a point that we get somebody who knows much more about Turkey and talk about Turkey, give us the information that we do require. There is an SMS that I received here, and it says, I listen to your show on Radio Islam on Sunday, and it's very useful and informative. Jazakallah for it. I just wanted to query about the visas for Turkey. It seems like we do not need one, but what I wanted to find out is if we need to go to the Turkish embassy in Pretoria to apply for it, or can we apply online? What is the visa? And what is the status of visas for Turkey? Brother Imran, jazakallah for joining us once again and talking to us about Turkey, which is, we need to get all this information passed out to the listeners because there's lots of confusion regarding hotels, regarding which area to stay, and also the visas, visa issues and so on. So let us just get that out and make it known to the listeners out there what the basic requirements are, because this is not very technical and difficult to go to Turkey, Brother Imran. Is it just as such?
No, it isn't. Look, the visa is a very simple issue. It can be done online. It will take you not more than 5 minutes. So even if you just Google, you know, Turkish visa, it will give you the site. You go to the site, you'll fill in your details. It will ask you to confirm it will send you an email, and you'll have to confirm on that email. And then you just fill in its basic details, you know, your passport details and so forth. And once it's complete, within 2 or 3 minutes, they send you an email back, which is a PDF file containing the visa, like you have a Dubai visa. You just print it out and you take it with you. They've done this because of the volume of tourists they're having. It was taking very long at the counters, you know, for them to put in all the information and so forth. So this way it's very easy, but you need to have that paper with you. When you get there, you give that visa in with your passport, and all they do is they just scan it and stamp your passport and you throw.
Now that is so, it's so good to know that countries are resorting to this. I was just listening during this week, they were mentioning statistics came out that since India introduced the e-visas, their tourism statistics, they have increased their tourism by 1,000%. And likewise, Turkey is doing the same. They're making it easy for visa applications. I think the only country in the world is going backwards as far as this is concerned, and it's us, South Africa, we're going backwards with them. Because it's so easy. It's so easy for visas when you're applying elsewhere. And like you're just telling me now, they're doing it simply because of the volumes that are coming in. And they notice that there is, that's where the potential is. And tourism to Turkey, you know, you in the industry, you know better. I think this year, we're having record crowds going to Turkey.
See, it's been, you know, especially in the summer months. So you take from about May, June onwards, because it's coming towards the summer holiday in the Middle East as well as in Europe. Turkey is very full. When you, if you're at the airport, you'll just see people arriving, you know, from all parts of the world, even places like Japan and China. You see a lot of tourists. When you take the tours, normally what happens is you start your tour off at the Hippodrome, and if you come in the morning, you'll just see groups of tourists coming in, you know. Normally with a tour group, they park the buses a bit away, and you walk up to the Hippodrome, and you'll see them in all corners from all parts of the world. So the visa issue has become, it's become a bit of a nasty issue with regard to people coming into South Africa. We have people, friends who are at SA Tourism, and they've told us as well from time to time they've been having issues, especially with places like China and India, because what they've done, the South African government have now passed over the visa responsibility to visa centers, and in some places it's quite far. So this has deterred tourism a bit into South Africa, and it's currently, there's been a board set up to see that how they can whether they're going to change the visa rules or what they can do to make it easier. So, like I said, Turkey is very easy. There are no issues really. The main thing is just to have that printed copy with you.
Okay, that is important. So that's we just search for Turkey visas, and it's an online application. Is there a cost involved there?
No cost at all. No.
Oh, there's no cost. Just that you should have your visa when you reach Turkey. That's all.
Yeah, it is. Once they email you that PDF file, and that is basically your visa. We've had people who forgot it at home, and they were told, and you know, they told them at the immigration to please go to. They have some computers nearby there to go there and please redo it and just print it and bring it to them. Because without that, they won't let you in. And also, when you arrive at immigration, you'll see there are boards for the different countries. So they tell you if you are from, you know, XYZ or these countries, please go to this queue. If you are from these countries, go to this queue. And we should try and just adhere to it. Sometimes we see a short queue there, but there's a reason for that. You know why? Because some countries need that visa the way I'm explaining it now, and some don't need it. Some need a visa stuck in the passport. So we should just adhere to those rules when we arrive at Istanbul Airport.
All right. Now, I just got an SMS that came in here as well. It reads here, what time of the year is the best to go to Turkey? Because that is something which many people cannot answer. Now, time-wise, we're obviously looking at the north of the equator, so your April, May, June, July, August, till about October, I think. But what about our December holidays, January holidays? What's the weather like on that side?
It's very cold. We've had people, I don't know if you remember last year, Emirates ran some specials on flights, and the Turkey flights were very cheap, for the simple reason that nobody goes on holiday there in winter unless you're going skiing. So we've had people who went, it was extremely cold, but they obviously saved a lot. They saved like about 2,000 rand on their tickets. People that were going to Dubai just went to Turkey for the price. And it's very cold. It snows, it's rainy, it's wet. So really, I wouldn't advise. What happens is sometimes we go to a place at the wrong time of the year, and our whole perception of that place, you know, is spoiled, and then we don't even want to go back again. So I would suggest not going in those months unless, like I say, you're going skiing. The best time is, like you mentioned, it's actually from about May till about October is fine. July and August are really hot. If you don't mind extreme temperatures, you can go then. September, I went last year towards the end of September, early October. The weather was still good. We had a bit of rain in between. But those are about the best times to go.
I've got another SMS here that reads, what is your thought on touring Istanbul or any other place using something like the hop-on, hop-off buses or something?
A hop-on, hop-off works very well in most cities. The only reason we wouldn't recommend it in Istanbul really is because the main attractions are the Blue Mosque, the Topkapi, the Hagia Sophia, And all those are very close by. So you basically walk from one to the other. The bus is not going to really help you there. If you want to do basically a tour of the whole city, go around, then it would be useful. It would help you move around. But if you're doing just that area, I suggest rather do it on foot. It's much better. You save a lot of time and you basically will see much more.
All right, Chief. We are going to be talking about location as well. Our SMS line is always 072-786-5520. 072-786-5520. We'll answer your questions. We do have Brother Imran online who's going to answer our questions of Turkey. There's lots of queries about Turkey as well. Now, the questions, Brother Imran, that I've spoken to quite a bit about, which I received, was about location in particular, which is when you're coming to the location of the area as to your tourist attraction, where your most amount of tourist attractions are. Now, that location, if you say Taksim Square, what's your suggestion? Which is the best area to look into?
Okay, if you merely are worried about your distance to all the attractions and you want somewhere to be convenient, you want to spend most of your time in the old city, then the old city, Sultan Ahmed area, is the best place to stay. If you want hotels that are, like we mentioned earlier, branded hotels, where you're used to the bigger rooms, if you want a good five-star hotel and so forth, then in the same area, most of the hotels, they are branded, they are very good. There's one hotel which was previously a palace, which they've made it into a hotel. There's hotels which is on the Bosphorus. There are hotels where you open your window and, you get the sunrise or the sunset. And so if you're looking at purely the hotel experience, I would say stay on the Taksim side. If you're looking at convenience and spending your time at all the sites, then I would say stay in the old city, in the Sultan Ahmed area.
Now that's the most important thing. When it comes to hotels, and if you're really out there for holiday and touring and not just to chill out in your hotel, my suggestion would be to go closer to the tourist areas. And the Grand Bazaar is also not far from there, I believe.
Not far. If you're staying between, say, the Blue Mosque area, Sultan Ahmed area, and the Grand Bazaar, then everything is like a 10 to 20 minute walk away. Like I said earlier, it will take you maybe a day or two to get your bearings, but generally all the hotels in the reception, they've got a big map. And when I say a map, not like, a proper map you'd get in a map book, but something that has been drawn up by them, showing where their hotel is, where the sites are nearby to you. So if you use that and you walk around, then everything is quite close. There's another, tip. In Istanbul, or in Turkey rather, cell phone costs are quite high. So a lot of people won't be, just buying some cards and using the data there. So it's a good thing to do if you've got Wi-Fi in the hotel is search the areas you want to go to on whichever map program you have on your phone or your tablet, whatever it is, and just take a screenshot of a few of them. Then you've got it with you. So wherever you are, if you need to get somewhere, you just take that screenshot, that photo out, and it will be easy to navigate your way around the city.
Yeah, that is of utmost importance when you're doing all these things as well. And I always mention on air is the important thing to do is before you go wherever, and not only while you're there, before you leave South Africa. That is a mistake many people make. Before they leave South Africa, they do not do their homework completely on the place where they're going to. When they come there, they're now lost and completely baffled as to where do we start from. And then when you have the language barrier sometimes in certain countries, that's when somebody is now totally, they miss the boat and they got to come back without doing what they have to do. So that's what you're saying now is important to do from home. And if you can, while you're there as well, as you say, keep your screenshots or keep all your information together and then you do your tour. So that is of utmost importance. And I think that's a suggestion which we should pass on to all our listeners, I presume.
Gee, I think that's very important. Look, if you're going to a beach resort, for example, you don't have much to do, so you can just go there, pitch up, and sit on the beach. But if you're going to cities like this, and the uniqueness of Istanbul is such that, many parts of the world you go, on the tourist side, it will be things that are not appealing to us, which don't interest us. You'll go to maybe many cathedrals, or for example, if you're in Kuala Lumpur, you'll go to the Petronas Towers, or if you're in Dubai, you'll go to the Burj Khalifa. But those are all things, that are current. And Istanbul is such a place that it has history of centuries, you know. It's such a place that people over time, many nations fought for power over this place, you know, simply because it is such a strategic place. And really, when you're going there, you need to have your ducks in a row so that you can really enjoy the experience. Otherwise, there are some people, I know in the past you've had emails, you even forwarded them to me, where people were really unhappy, you know. And simply because, you know, they didn't do their homework or they expected, you know, something, they expected too much. Remember when you're going abroad, you're not taking your house with you. So you got to make some sacrifices somewhere along the line. So at times, you know, the food might not be agreeable to you, the space you have might be a bit less, but that's all part of traveling, you know. That's what makes the journey.
Okay, now I've got another SMS here that reads as well. It says, Assalamu alaikum, your guests make it sound so easy to go for tours. Is it advisable that we should book our tours to go to all these sightseeing places?
Generally, if you go with a tour guide, the advantage you have is you don't have to stand in queues and get tickets and so forth. If you go on your own, each place you're going to go, you're going to have to, apart from the Blue Mosque, if you go to the other places, you're going to have to stand in a queue, get a ticket, then take out a map, figure out where you are. So the good thing is, even if you don't want to do the tour from here, because Turkey is so geared for tourism, almost every hotel has a tour company they deal with. And when I got there, I told them the night before, listen, I need to do this. And they made a call and called me back and said, listen, it's done. They'll pick you up at 8:30 in the morning. So those guys really know the place. They give you a good background. You understand what the place is about, the history of the place. And you don't wait in queues. You don't stand there waiting for tickets, getting frustrated, waiting for an hour. So really, in a place like Istanbul, I would suggest people book their tours if they don't do it from here. Even when they get there, use a good tour company. That if you go to Turkey, all of them are the good companies are certified by the Tourism Council there. Use one of those companies, your experience will be much better. What you'll do in 2 days with the tour company, you can do in 1 day. And then thereafter, if you want to go back to those attractions, at least you know what you really want to go back to see if you've missed something. You don't waste time getting lost, going in the wrong queue and so forth.
Okay, there's another SMS. Can your guests suggest the best places to visit while in Istanbul?
Look, the major places are, like I said, you start normally at the Hippodrome, you do the Blue Mosque, the Hagia Sophia, the Topkapi Palace, then the Grand Bazaar. The Grand Bazaar is basically consists of about 7,000 stores. People go to just outside the Grand Bazaar, there's places where they make the traditional Turkish carpets and so forth. Also, there are many graves of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But that you would need somebody local who has that knowledge, because generally the tour guides don't really have that knowledge. I did some research online and there were over 20 graves of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Istanbul and surrounding areas. But there you would need somebody, you know, basically from the area who knows these places. Otherwise it's very difficult to find. And what they also have is they do a full day or half day tour of the Bosphorus. So it's basically you're on a boat. On the Bosphorus, they take you around, you know, showing you all the different, but you're seeing everything from the water, all the different sites. And there's a palace there, the Dolmabahçe Palace, made of gold. They take you to that. There's a few other places. So there's quite a few things that you can do. But like I said, depending, you know, if it's older people, obviously I would suggest you break it up, not try and do too much in one day because it's tiring, it's a lot of walking.
Right, okay, so there's quite a bit of places. In fact, Turkey, as I know it, there's lots of different places. Depending on what mindset you have all these religious tours, then you have the historical tours, then those Bosphorus. The Bosphorus is a lovely tour to do as well. And then you have your city tour also. So there's so much different tours to do. And this SMS here that just came in now, it says, Assalamu alaikum. What time frame do you think we need to visit Turkey at most? Now, I would think to answer that question before you can answer that, Brother Imran, is you know, 7 days I would say is okay. But if you're looking at Turkey in its entirety, you think about 10-14 days, Brother Imran?
You know, there are bus tours which you do as well, which are about 14 days. So you get basically two nights in each city or in each area, you know. So that's doing like quite a bit, but you're not doing it in depth. What I would suggest is, if people don't need too much traveling, if you really want to do Istanbul properly 4 or 5 nights, you can really do a good job. And then there's places like Cappadocia, which you can do a day trip, or you can stay a night where you go to the underground caverns and so forth, and you go hot air ballooning, and it's really scenic. And then Turkey also has good seaside resorts like Antalya and Bodrum and these places. So what I normally tell the clients is that go for 2 or 5 night or 4 night trip in Istanbul, do your Cappadocia. If you want to go to places like Konya and so forth, there are bus trips which you do on a day, for a day, and just stay over the night. And then maybe at the end of your trip, 2, 3 or 4 nights in one of the seaside resorts, and you know you've had a complete holiday, your shopping is over, and then from the resort you fly back, and you know you really come back relaxed.
Yeah, so that is, you know, that is, it's a personal choice as to what you really want to do when you go out there. It's what type of hotel, what type of holiday you're looking for, because Turkey offers across the board, and that's what you're looking at. Well, you get many other countries where if you're going for a holiday, like for Dubai, for example, you're limited to a certain style of holiday, and that's it, and you got to keep that in your mind that that's my holiday style. Whereas Turkey offers a variety of stuff, so that you got to create your intention before you leave as to which direction you're looking at exactly. You can do almost everything there within a good period of time. But more than that, it's, as you just said, even, you know, 4 or 5 days in Istanbul, and if you want to, you break your journey up and go to other places as well. So it's important to note and to make a point of probably hopping from one place to another after 3 or 4 days, where if you really want to go and do a full complete tour of Turkey. Now, when it comes to the north and the south, any differences there when it comes to the tours of Asian Turkey, and you're looking at the European side, any advice you want to give to the listeners?
Look, the European side, about roughly 3% of Istanbul is on the European side. That's the Taksim area, where they've got a lot of all the branded shops like you would get maybe in, you know, in any European city, like in London, in Oxford Street and so forth. You find branded shops. I think the street's roughly about 3 kilometers long, with mostly all of that. So that's on the European side. Like I said there, if you want really, you know, good hotel experience, spend time in hotels and the spas and so forth, then that's the place to be. The other side is the old city where all these attractions are, and then there's the third side, which is the Asian side, and there is where most of the people live. There are a lot of manufacturing industries there and so forth. Just one thing to keep in mind, you know, there have been a lot of specials on some airlines where you're flying into Turkey, into Istanbul. Just to remember, there's two airports there. One is the older one, the Sabiha Gökçen, which is on the Asia side. So you're going to have to travel from the Asia side back to the old city or Taksim, wherever you stay. People don't really stay there. And the other is the new one, the Atatürk, which is in the old city. So we just keep that in mind, because we've had people who book their flights and come to us and not realizing that it's going to be a slight longer trip, you know, traveling from hotel to airport and back.
Okay, I've got an email that comes here from Brother Iqbal. It comes from Brother Iqbal. He says, "We, 2 adults, 3 children, spent 10 days in Istanbul last year, and I felt I could have spent more to explore more. Just so much to do in Istanbul alone. If you have kids, there is a terrific world-class theme park called the Via Land, where you can spend the whole day and manage to go on all the rides more than once. Not busy at all. Also, we went to Istanbul's Mini Turk, which is a miniature version of Turkey. Took a small 6-seater boat across from Heyup district. A great day trip as well. We stayed in Fatih area near the Aksaray tram station, as we preferred an apartment which didn't cost an arm and a leg like the hotels in Sultan Ahmed area. Lots of other things, just too numerous to mention." Now, there are lots of people that come back and tell us that there is so much to do, that if you don't like certain part of Turkey, you can obviously hop and do something else, and you won't make a mistake of doing that. Now, this email gives us exactly what we're talking about. There's so much to do, which now you're looking at an enjoyment place for children as well, and all these theme parks and so on. So there's so much more to do. And you want to elaborate on this particular email, Brother Imran?
You know, a lot of our information comes from our clients who travel, really. We can't go and see everything and do everything, so we rely on our clients. And that's something great, you know, that listener has brought up, which we will use. We'll do some further investigation into it. But like you said, it's such a place you can do so many things, you know. And generally when people go, you know, they want to go again and again. I made the mistake of taking my wife with me, and now she's on it about going back and again and again, you know. So it's something that, you know, really, it's got something for everyone. But like I say, there are some people who go, you know, you need to go with an open mind. Sometimes a person can stay in the best of hotels, but if they just not, you know, got it in their head that this place is not for me, they'll never enjoy it, you know. So,
yes.
Like, this person has probably done some research before, and like you said, if you want apartments and these things, you have to stay a bit further away. But if you don't mind the traveling, the train system, the tram system is very good in Turkey. To move around is not difficult, you know. It's better using the public transport than the taxis, because like we mentioned, with all the small streets and so forth, you can't get, you know, it's difficult to get to all these places. But other clients have told me, even on the Taksim side, there's some theme parks there as well. So if we do research, even if we need, we contact the Turkish embassy or the consulate. And, you know, now with the internet, there's so much we can do. But what I would suggest is always, when you go into places like this, take some advice. If you're not sure what to do, if you haven't been there before, take some advice from someone who's been there or a travel professional, so that, you know, your time is spent correctly.
That's very, very important, and that's what we have to do all the time. If there's anybody that wants more information regarding Turkey, that since you've been there to do that a thorough investigation, is it okay? I can give them your telephone number, Imran?
Gee, you can give them our number by all means. You have all our details. You can forward it to them. And also, clients, what we've done is we've had many requests after the shows that people want to go online and book flights and so forth. So we've got a new online booking site, which is www.flightson.co.za. So people can go there, and the prices are quite reasonable. There aren't really much service fees or anything to be paid. So they can do it that way, and there are details of our agency as well on there, and people can contact us through that as well.
Jazakallah for that, brother. Jazakallah for taking time on the Sunday morning talking to us. But we definitely will forward our listeners' information and listeners' queries to you, which we will definitely get now after the program. People will call in. I know that, it's without fail on the Sunday. After the program, I get a lot of people calling me, asking me questions and so on, and also the SMSs during the week. But I definitely will forward it to you. And let us see if we can help. Like I always say, if I can help just one person, one program, one week, my job is done. That's what I look forward to do. And irrespective of what I say, how I say things, what I may say, but if one person comes out with some information which really helps them, that's what we need. And I think Imran, I would like to say Jazakallah once again for being there for us whenever we needed assistance. There's many, many a times where I couldn't answer questions myself, and you guys helped me with that. I must say Jazakallah for assisting us for that. Jazakallah for joining us on the Sunday morning as well.
Jazakallah, Brother Mohammed, for having me. Like I said, it's always a pleasure. Anytime you or any of the listeners have any queries or any needs, we're available. Please don't hesitate to call us.
Jazakallah. This was Brother Imran from Harvey World in Sandton, who always assists us with lots of information, and we pass on information to listeners from there as well. And inshallah, that helps lots of people because they've got their experiences also. So that makes a difference for me when it comes to discussing all these issues with lots of listeners. There are, you know, we know certain things, but there's not everything that we know. So we do have to get information. We're learning all the time. And that was now Turkey, inshallah. What we'll do is we'll try and get more information, keep it on hand, because there's lots of queries that comes in regarding the basic information. And it's confusing, especially now when we have all these visa issues in the different parts of the world, and with South Africa having this visa issues that we currently have. I think other countries are now going to become just a little difficult with South Africa, because it's something which was not expected, and now it's happening here, and it's really affecting the tourism industry, although the authorities are saying no, it's not like that, but it really does affect the tourism industry. So just make sure before you go to any country, wherever it's now time to do your holiday bookings and so on, before you go for a holiday anyway, before you do anything, my suggestion would be check out your visa issues, because it is important that you make it a point that you know what is going on when it comes to the visas, because you don't want to be stranded. You know, these things do happen. And alhamdulillah, you know, the SMSs pour in all the time. I just got one here. I'm going to read it out before I go off. It says, Salam, you spoke about contacting the Turkish embassy. Before we visited Turkey, we contacted them, but they were not very helpful, as well as some tourist offices in Istanbul itself. We actually got chased out of an office because we didn't know if they were closed and we entered. But nonetheless, we had a great trip in Turkey. These things do happen. Unfortunately, it's the individuals which create these things, and we should sometimes, if it is not so serious, we overlook it. Otherwise, if we're going to brood over certain things, we'll just make ourselves miserable. And like you said, you had a great time in Turkey, so you overlooked all those things, and you had a great time in Turkey, alhamdulillah. And that is what we should do. We should just sometimes overlook certain things, but where we find that they've trampled upon our rights in a particular country, then if you want to take action, you can do it like that. But small things like this, what you've done, I think you've excelled and you did the right thing by just overlooking and then still enjoying the trip in Turkey. We're not saying that because of that one, two issues, you're not going to have a holiday. You're just going to be brooding in the hotel and just now you're on a down all the time. Make a difference. Enjoy your holiday. It's your money that you're going with. You're going to a different country. Let not other people make it difficult for you. Whereas if you can enjoy yourself, you spending your money, you enjoy yourself with your money, alhamdulillah, and that's what we look at. So inshallah, if it is so, make the best of it. Wherever you go, from the visa application right up to the destination where you are, try and make the best of it, inshallah. So that's it for now, inshallah, from myself, Muhammad Lambad. Until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.